So you'd say, Tanya, one of these stones that becomes in every today, Sarah, and Rebecca, and my own, the death is up and antico. One is the copper to be a stone, the person in the way of the top, but he to them, but many will be a person. During the 4 months or approximately the 4 months when the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to Jagannath Puri to see him, and this particular time they did that for more or less 20 years they would come from Bengal, but this particular period was after he had returned from South India. But had not gone to Vrindavan yet. These were the two major travels that Mahaprabhu did. There is one minor one that we shall hear of today also. We shall hear about that. But all the devotees would come and they would stay for some time, several months. And each day, several times a day, they do it. They would perform kirtan around the Jagannath temple. In that kirtan, this is described in the 11th chapter of this Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the chapter right before Gandhicha Marjanadam, the cleaning of the Gandhicha temple, which is a very important chapter. And after that is the Rathiyatra chapter, and then after that is going to Vrindavan, and this one is the one directly after that. But before the cleansing of the Gandhicha temple, there's a chapter called the Veda Kirtan pastimes. And Veda Kirtan means when they would basically circumambulate. They would circumambulate the Jagannath temple. 3 times a day they would have such a, hundreds of devotees would have such a wonderful kirtan. So many, and the devotees would divide into groups. And Mahaprabhu would sometimes perform the miracle of being in every group at once. And everyone, when everyone would look at him in the group, it would appear that he was looking at them. Which, of course, in a big circle is quite difficult to do. But it is similar to the pastime when Krishna did that during his coward boy pastimes. He would sit, and all the boys, they would share food, and Krishna would sit in the center. And naturally, when we sit in the center of a group of people surrounding us, naturally our back would be to someone. But each of the devotees, each of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, perceived that Krishna was looking at them and exchanging with them, and they could see his face. And similarly, when Mahaprabhu was dancing, the devotees would look at Mahaprabhu, and they would all be able to see his face, and he would be going in all the different groups. Sometimes all at once he would perform that miracle that happened in Rathayatra also. And he would dance in such an amazing way and experience so much ecstasy. In the Rathayatra, for example, the tears would come from his eyes with such power that everyone would be drenched by those tears. Everyone surrounding him, they would become moistened by it, would pour from his eyes. So, of course, no human being can make that happen. And no, not even a great devotee can make that happen. This is the Mahabhav characteristics of the Supreme Lord in his mood of separation from Srimati Radharani, from Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, because tears occur when sometimes when we're extremely happy And sometimes when we're upset, sometimes when we feel so much sadness in our heart, tears will glide down our cheeks. But what type of emotion would it take to make tears go shooting from our eyes, like the Ganga River flowing in Gangotri Gomukh? So these pastimes would go on every day, and every day all the devotees would invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam. Not all the devotees would invite him every day, and he wouldn't perform the miracle of going to everyone's house every day. That didn't happen. Rather, he would go to, it was organized that he would go to one devotee's house every day. So we heard how he went to the house of Advaita Charja. And then, in Chandrasekhar Charja, so different devotees according to their position, they would have the opportunity to invite Mahaprabhu, and other devotees would contribute to the purchasing of Jagannath Mahaprasadam for him. So then there's some mysterious places, mysterious things happen, begin happening. At the end of the 4 month Tatamasya period, that's when Mahaprabhu was ready to come back, or the devotees were ready to go back to Bengal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again consulted with Nityananda Prabhu daily. Every day he would meet alone with Nityananda Prabhu in a solitary place, and no one could understand what their consultation was about, because their speech, because they were such, they were the Supreme Lords, their speech was on a different level. And no one could understand what it was, but I would imagine everyone was quite curious to understand what they were talking about. It's like if you saw Srila Prabhupada speaking to one of his godbrothers in a private place, naturally you'd want to know that their moods in conversing would be quite different than if, you know, some 22-year-old disciple was speaking to Prabhupada. So no one understood what they were talking about. And then Sri Advaita Charja said something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through gestures, and he read some poetic passages. He read some poetry and he moved. And sometimes also in Ratiyatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. He would, just like in Bharatanatyam, the different hand movements, they have different specific meanings, and the different movements of the eyes, they have different meanings. Did you learn Bharatanatyam when you were a boy?
No, I have not learned.
No. No. But the different hand movements, they have different meanings. Now I am going to the Vrindavan, now I'm doing this. And so during Ratiyatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, when he would dance in front of Lord Jagannath's cart with his hand movements, he would enact the whole pastime of Krishna Kurukshetra. And in this way, he would be in the mood of Srimati Radharani, speaking to Lord Jagannath and inviting him to come back to Vrindavan, because that was, it was such a touching scene, because Krishna, this is described in the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto, Krishna had, for the first time after leaving Vrindavan, he met with the gopis, because all the Krishna, as the great king of Dwarka, and all of his queens, and all the whole entourage and elephants and everything, they came to in chariots, they came to Kurukshetra to perform pious activities during the solar eclipse that was occurring there. Have you been to Kurukshetra? Kurukshetra, no. You have not seen?
Kurukshetra. Yeah.
You have seen? Yes. Very big tank there. Big lake called Brahmakund. And then there's another smaller one called Sannihit Sarov. So that's where Krishna met the gopis. And it was such a scene because Krishna was there, the same Krishna, And the same Srimati Radharani was there, and all the gopis, but especially Srimati Radharani. But even though the people were the same, the place wasn't Vrindavan. So they couldn't carry on the same loving affection in the same way, because it just wasn't Vrindavan. It was Kurukshetra. So it was such a difficult circumstance, because they had been longing, the gopis had been longing to see Krishna, and Krishna had been longing to see the gopis, and then they finally met in Kurukshetra, but it wasn't the same because it wasn't Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani was trying to get Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. And that's the mood of Ratha Yatra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, and that mood of Kurukshetra. So the most, it is one of the highest points of ecstasy, because the mood of being with the person but still not being with the person in the place that you want to be with the person, it's intricate loving psychology, and that's what took place at Kurukshetra. So Mahaprabhu would enact the whole pastime with his hands as he would dance and cry in front of the deities. So this is the perfection of love for Krishna. So Advaita Charja could, he would speak something, he would indicate things to Mahaprabhu through gestures, and he would read some poetic passages which no one understood. So it's one thing when Nityananda Prabhu is talking with Mahaprabhu in a quiet place and no one can even hear what they're saying. But Advaita Charja, he's saying something, he's moving his body in such a way that he's indicating things to Mahaprabhu, and he's even speaking poetry, but still no one could understand. And seeing the face of Advaita Charja, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he smiled, understanding that the Lord had accepted the proposal. Advaita Charja started to dance. No one knew what Advaita Charja requested or what the Lord ordered. After embracing the Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. So it was time for them, him and the rest of the party, to go back to Bengal. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Lord Nityananda, he said, Nityananda kahi Prabhu. Mahaprabhu said to Nityananda, Sunya Sripad. Oh, holy one, holy man. Sripad means holy man. Sunya, you listen please. E ami mage tumi karaha prasad. I now request some, I'm asking some prasad from you, I'm asking some mercy from you. Kindly grant my request. Do not come prativas every year nilachala into Jagannath Puri tumi na ashiva. Please do not come every year to Jagannath Puri. What a request is this? All these devotees have so much loving devotion for Mahaprabhu that he's their life. He's their life. Just imagine how you would feel if your life left your body. You wouldn't feel anything. You wouldn't be alive. So Krishna, is called Prananath, means the Lord of one's life. He's the life of the person. So he's asking Nityananda, don't come every year. Goldarahi Mora Itza Safal Kariba. You stay in Goldadesh, in Bengal. This Mora Itza, this is my desire. I want you to make my desire successful. I want your preaching to be successful. Because Mahaprabhu had told Nityananda Prabhu before that you go to Bengal, because when Mahaprabhu first came to Jagannath Puri, then Nityananda Prabhu also came with him, and then Mahaprabhu went to South India, towards South India, and Nityananda Prabhu didn't accompany him. And when Mahaprabhu returned from South India, Nityananda Prabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu said, "Don't come and see me every year. I want you to fulfill my desire of preaching in Bengal. No one else can actually successfully do this. It takes such potency to actually convert people to Krishna consciousness, to change their hearts, because everyone, by the power of Maya, is engaged in just materialistic activities day after day after day after day until the day they die, never thinking that it will end. Accumulating zeros, 10 zeros, 100 zeros, it's not enough. 1,000 zeros, 1,000,000 zeros, 10 billion zeros, and it all adds up to zero. So to change someone's consciousness, very, very difficult. So he said, so Mahaprabhu told him, "I want you to do this. Please fulfill my desire. Safal Kariba, please do this. Give me the fruit, Icha Safal. Give me the fruit that I desire." So he said, "Godarahi, you stay in Bengal. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire." And here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to spread the only medicine effective in this fallen age of Kali, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why is it called medicine? Bhava Oshud Shottamana Bharamat. It is medicine that is taken through the ear. It is medicine because it cures the disease of material life. It changes one's desires, it changes one's taste. Following the order of his mother, so it's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to spread the only medicine effective in this fallen age of Kali, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Following the orders of his mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, and the devotees were coming to see him. However, the Lord felt that this message must be spread very elaborately in Bengal, and in his absence there was not a second person capable of doing it. Consequently, the Lord requested Nityananda Prabhu to stay there and broadcast the message of Krishna consciousness. The Lord also entrusted a similar preaching responsibility to Rupa and Sanatan. Told them to go to, this in the Antilila, there's a whole description of individually in the first chapter and the fourth chapter of Antilila. There's a description of the specific instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa and then gave to Sanatana Goswami, and what their mission would be: to reestablish the holy places, to write books, to show the ideal example of a sannyasi, of a renunciant in Vrindavan, to stay in Vrindavan. So he gave a preaching mission to rediscover the holy places, to stay in Vrindavan and to write books, and there were other things too. The Lord also entrusted similar preaching responsibility to Rupa and Sanatana. Nityananda Prabhu was requested not to come every year to Jagannath Puri, although seeing Lord Jagannath greatly benefits everyone. Does this mean that the Lord was refusing Nityananda Prabhu a fortunate opportunity? What to speak of seeing Lord Jagannath, to see Mahaprabhu and associate with him, to be with all the devotees in the association of Mahaprabhu, to chant 3 times a day and around the temple in ecstasy, to watch the ecstatic transformations of Mahaprabhu. So this is quite a big request. So does that mean that if one follows the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the preaching mission, for example, is that going to in some way inhibit his advancement, and somehow he will lose something? So what do you think? Of course we know no. The answer is no, but sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Seem like it's the greatest loss. The Prabhupada answers the question. He answers the question, the basic question in one word. Was the Lord refusing Nityananda Prabhu a fortunate opportunity? Now what do you think the word is?
No.
Exactly. 100% correct. No. One who is a faithful servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must execute his order, even if one has to sacrifice going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath there. In other words, it is a greater fortune to carry out Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. Preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult throughout the world is more important than staying in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri for one's own personal satisfaction. Spreading Krishna consciousness is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Therefore, his sincere devotees must carry out his desire. Prithiviti ache yata nagaradigram sarvacha prachar hoibe moranam. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. That will satisfy the Lord. It is not that one should act whimsically for one's own personal satisfaction. This order comes through the parampara system, and the spiritual master presents these orders to the disciples so that he can spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the duty of every disciple to carry out the order of the bona fide spiritual master and spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. Now, what do you think about that?
Deeply dedicated and selfless person can follow that.
And when we say that, everyone will say, well, I'm not deeply and deeply sincere and selfless, so therefore this order is for someone else. So many points can be made, but one of them is that look what Prabhupada did. He inspired hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, several thousand people to just give up everything and just take this very, very seriously in one form or another. So what an amazing person. And it wasn't, he didn't tell people to do this. This is my order. He's always saying, this is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and myself acting as the spiritual master, I'm just representing Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya and presenting to you that you should do this and fulfill the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees in those days, they are sincere, but also very young. So when one is very young, it's easier to do these things. And Prabhupada, not only did he want them to do it, He demanded it. He demanded it. And he also knew that this was an opportunity to gain something that is so valuable. This opportunity, this great fortune of surrendering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. It's so valuable. Well, everything else that we gain is a collection of zeros. So that's one point. So that was Prabhupada's viewpoint. But of course, nowadays, no one preaches quite as strongly. Not no one, but it's very rare. And now it's kind of so much more a congregational movement where people are living in the world and performing their household duties generally. And also moving forward in their Krishna consciousness. But it's also moving forward in their Krishna consciousness. And in when during Prabhupada's day, there was no also. It was everything for everyone according to their ability. So how to reconcile that? Because if we take the point of view that one has to be much more sincere than I am to be able to do this, then how do we reconcile that to... And of course, when Prabhupada was dealing with, say, in Bombay and Delhi, when he was dealing with people who were in the world, he didn't tell them to drop everything and move into the temple. He didn't tell them that either. All the life members and things and the people, he didn't tell them to do that, nor did they have the capacity to do that. So does one reconcile the fact that Mahaprabhu wanted devotees to do this, and yet the capacity, and Prabhupada is saying it, and yet the capacity for people to surrender to this degree is not that high. Because what one doesn't want is to go like this. Yes, I'm going to do it, and then, it's a bit dangerous and frightening. You mean I have to depend completely on Krishna? But what about this? What about that? I read a comment of Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur somewhere in the 11th canto, chapter 18, I think, of the 11th canto, when Krishna is speaking to Uddhava about Vanashram, and he's talking about the duty of householders and how householders said at some point the husband, either with the wife or without the wife, should go to the forest. And then he talked about taking sannyas, and then and there's one verse where Krishna says, and that you should leave the family and the children, etc. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he gives the example of how not to think. But I have a young child. Who will take care of my child? And my mother is so old. Who will take care of my mother? So it was so. Who will take care of Baba? They're old. And it was so striking and confronting that's how he's saying how we shouldn't think. Yet there's always balancing points on the other side. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who would have been very happy to stay with him in Jagannathpur, he sent him back to take care of his parents, who were nice devotees. So he told them to take care of them, and then when they passed away, then Raghunath Bhatta Goswami came to Jagannath Puri. So there's always, in spiritual life, there's always the ideal, and then there's our capacity, and sometimes there's a great distance between the ideal and our capacity, but we should always try to adjust our activities to come as in the direction of the ideal. We should adjust our activities in the direction of the ideal, that where we can perform them in a practical and steady way. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also very, very strong in this way. He would tell, sometimes, he would tell the devotees, when they understood the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understood the philosophy, just at that point when they understood it, they should not go home. Even if they hear that my house is burning down, don't go home to put out the fire even. So powerful these acharyas were in the depth of their own Krishna consciousness and their own surrender, that they did not have difficulty demanding that type of surrender from the people who were ready to hear it and to follow them. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you're going to go to Vrindavan, don't go with a return ticket. Not as a tourist. But of course, they went on Parikrama and they also came back. But on these points, so strong. There is one story or pastime of when Srila Prabhupada's sannyas guru, person who Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur acted to, His Divine Grace Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj, Prabhupada's god brother, when he was a brahmachari, his mother was leaving, and she kept sending this world, and she kept on sending messages to him to come. And he was staying in the temple, and he didn't go. So finally the family sent a message to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying, please let him come home. His mother is dying. Send him home. So he sent him home. He said, you go home. And then after a few days, he heard that he didn't go. He didn't go. So he called him. He sort of stayed in his room. And he didn't go. And he was ordered by his guru Maharaj to go. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, why haven't you gone? And your mother is passing away. And she's asked you to come, and I've ordered you to go, and you didn't go. Why? And he said, because I know what will happen. We have so much land there, and as she's dying, her final request to me is, you stay here and take care of our family property. You get married and take care of the family property. I'm requesting it as my final, as I'm leaving this world. And then he said, then what will I do? And then he said, for so many lives, I've had so many mothers and so many fathers, but to find the service of a person like you, a guru like you, this is very, how often does this come? So please forgive me for not following your order, but this is why. And of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so pleased. But his realization was on that level. Sometimes we have the sentiment of a realization, and then we go, boom, yes, yes, this is right, this is right. And then after a few days later, when our mood changes, boom, we go back and further and in our embarrassed way. So So sentiment is not sufficient when the depth of one's realization has to be there. So how to reconcile all these different points, the ideals from the practical capacity. So we should reconcile our situation and get as close as we practically can to the ideal, or move in the direction of the ideal. And if we have the capacity to be ideal, we should do it without hesitating. And if we don't, we should adjust the ideal, adjust our ability to act on the ideal level as closely as we can. So we should understand Mahaprabhu's mission and the importance of it, and understand the importance of spreading Krishna consciousness, and understand that we are servants, and let us see how we can serve and move in the direction in our lives towards the ideal, as opposed to without knowledge, without knowing what's ideal and what's not ideal, just acting in some way and then wasting our life. Good sincerity to act in these ways. And under guidance, and also if we think that we should, that we'll lose something. An example of Nityananda Prabhu, that he would lose by preaching, he will lose some great spiritual benefit by losing the ability to see Lord Jagannath and, of course, see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But also, we feel that we will lose something on the material level, and that is very frightening for us. If we can, so there's many ways to deal with that. But one of the most, there's two verses, one spoken by Prahlad and one by, in the 11th canto, very similar, describing how if one can use tarapadruvam artadam, if one can use something that's temporary, means the material body, our karma, and our situation in the material body and our life. If we can use a temporary situation like this to gain the eternal, this is very intelligent. I think I better see if there's any questions or comments on this before we move on. I try to explain it in a balanced way.
You began your comment on this point referring to Prabhupada, an amazing thing he did.
Yeah.
That he could inspire people. So in the context of the spreading of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is it dependent on the reoccurring appearance of great souls like that who provide the impetus? Because we see that after Prabhupada left, there was something of, you know, a shift away from this ideal.
So the question was,
is it dependent on the reoccurring appearance of souls of that caliber?
If it is Krishna, I'll send them. But there's many sincere souls. Because how often can you find a soul on that caliber?
Yeah.
He did what no one else had ever done and no one else will ever do. It's been done now, so no one else can do it and no one had done it before. It's quite unique.
Yeah.
So, so he did something so huge, and he started something moving that's so huge. So maybe that it's hard to tell the future, but maybe someone won't be empowered in that way to do the same thing that Prabhupada did, and because it can't be done again. But people can be empowered in other ways, and we could say smaller ways to do things in Christian service. And that we see all the time.
Yeah.
I think the more time goes on, Prabhupada's position will just go up and up and up and up, in the sense of people understand how unique his contribution is. So I'm not sure if I answered your question. That is it dependent on? Well, it's certainly dependent on people being empowered, but I don't think people are going to be no one can be empowered like Prabhupada was empowered. But people get empowered in different ways. Without being empowered, Krishna Sakti Nahi Vina Tara Pravatana, one can't preach.
Yeah. Another way to put the question I was asking was to be sincerely dedicated on that level, that you give a lifetime to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Is that dependent on the inspiration of and the association of a soul?
People get that from Prabhupada's books.
Yeah, they do.
People get that, you know, between them and Krishna's
yeah.
sort of how. But association, not to minimize the importance of association, personal association.
Mm. Because it seems like Prabhupada held people on that level of commitment who that was way beyond their apparent capacity, but he held them dedicated, inspired and dedicated in that way.
But ISKCON was always a revolving door in those days.
Yeah.
Not that everyone who joined stayed in.
No.
Because it was... You're really fighting. You're fighting the ocean. People's conditioning and materialism.
That may be the case, but Prabhupada held the spirit intact.
He certainly did. He certainly did. So who is going to keep the spirit going? Will it just become a social club? If it does, someone won't like it anymore. If it becomes infinite and just becomes without any borders, you know, we want everyone to be a Hare Krishna devotee. Mm. It doesn't make a difference anything, what you, no standards or anything. Krishna inspires someone to act.
To bring things back into line.
Well, you can't bring things back into line.
No.
Usually you sort of start your own branch, which is add something. Because once things are out of line, it's try to bring them into line, they tend to hate you. Rather than surrender to you, they tend to want to crucify you or something. But let's see. Time tells. Let's see how Krishna deals with everything and how the devotees act. But I see that there's so many sincere devotees preaching all over the world and sacrificing. Just even the devotees who, you know, the fulfill Prabhupada's desire in book distribution. That there's so many sparks of devotees picking one thing or another in Prabhupada's orders. And I'm very inspired to do that.
Yeah.
So many devotees, it's just individuals have inspirations. And Krishna's coming to them in that way, so to speak. Prabhupada's coming to them in that way. But Prabhupada's position is quite unique. Seems. Did you want to?
Prabhu, when you said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu to go and not come back, and Nityananda Prabhu is the Lord, and he has the capacity to follow the orders, I would say. But most of the people, speaking for myself, I have very weak heart. As you said, sentimental. One day I'm spiritual, next day I'm material. Mostly I'm material. And so what has happened is, personally, there's no personal association. When I come to a class here, yes, I'm elevated for a few seconds. I walk out, then I fall down again. So the question is in terms of how to advance, move from towards ideal, but it keeps falling back.
Okay, do you want to move towards the ideal, or you want to?
Yes.
You want to. One way to stop the conflict of going like this is just go down, stay down. Just watch, just turn on the television and don't turn it off. then you won't have to worry about. But you'll have to worry about other things at different times. So if you want to, so the question really comes to: do I want to advance? And that begins with, I want to, with desire. Everything is based on desire. So what you really want to do is make your desire stronger. So it's burning. So we all have that issue, that we want to increase our desire to love Krishna. That's everything for a devotee, and to protect that desire. So we, of course, there's many general things we could say, but the main basic points are that one should associate with devotees. If you want to take a step forward. Because you can't go from here to here generally. Some people can. But very rarely. But if you want to keep taking steps forward, the first key is association with devotees. So if you want to know how to step by step make more advancement, then increase your some time in a regular way of your association, like coming to classes and hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Because proper guidance, as you said, is important, and which I do get by coming to these classes. But when I listen to lectures, because there is no, we don't have an opportunity to ask questions, as you said, there are Prabhupada books, and
do you write down your questions?
No.
Why don't you write down your questions, and then gives you something to do when you come and talk to the devotees. Generally, the devotees like to help in that way. It gives a nice way of associating. So when you have questions, but if you want personal guidance or something like that. Devotees who help you according to their capacity and who you wish to ask. But just make sure you're going forward, or try your best to go forward always. And even if we take one step to Krishna, Krishna will take so many steps towards us. So that's the main goal, is to always be moving towards Krishna and to become engaged in hearing and chanting more. Until the point where, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's showing how to be the ideal devotee, that he was so much aflame with the desire to be with Krishna, he could not tolerate a moment without Krishna, and tears would pour from his eyes. So that's, he's showing the ideal. And to make us humble. How far we are from the ideal. So I'm not sure I answered your question. Not in a specific way, but in a general way. But most important is to associate with devotees. That's sarva-sastra-hoi. Sarva-siddhi-hoi. That's the thing, that if you wanted one thing, it's probably associated with devotees. Or sometimes that's not so practical, you get need more, sometimes you get chance more. But always taking a step. But unless you're associated with the devotees, the impetus to take the step, the desire to move forward, won't manifest in the heart. Is that your experience?
Yes, it is my experience. Where I get more lost is in terms of, because I'm not to the level of a devotee as such. So I think after you said you have to have a guru, a personal guru who guides you, and guru is way far ahead for me, not a devotee to start with. So that's why to come to that level where I'm more steady as a devotee to really show commitment to do something. So that's where I'm struggling for the past few years to be able, not to find a guru, but to bring myself to the devotee level before even I think of a guru, really.
But do you know what your next step should be? Well, but I think you do. If you wanted to make advancement, and if I were to ask you, what one thing could you do that's in your capacity that would help the most? Why don't you think about that question? And then you can bring it to one of the devotees who you trust and discuss that point. Well, you think about it, do your own thoughtfulness. What one thing do you think, according to your understanding, would make the most advancement, help you? Well, something that's in your capacity, not something imaginary that you can't do. What can you do? What step can you actually take to Krishna that would make the most difference for you personally? But don't answer it now. That's something for you to think about, and tomorrow you can tell us if you come. Are you finished with that contract?
No, yes, I'm finished with it. And contract.
You're working here and you're back in Perth?
Yes, I'll start work next week.
Just imagine how one day we'll see how living here is like living up north, and what a relief it is to come home. And then we'll be with Krishna.
Yeah.
Even though everything is, maybe when you're living up there, everything maybe is very nice, but yes, it's something that's very uncomfortable because it's not home. So
think.
Seems. But if you live there long enough, you'll start thinking that's home.
Well, people doing that, right?
Yeah, that's right. People like that.
Because then they're lost.
Yeah.
They're lost. So don't become lost. Otherwise you'll think Bombay is your home. Then you're really lost. Only if I was in Bombay. Oh, in my home. I think all the right people came to the class tonight. All the family. Easy. How are you doing with the lights, Doug Taney?